night coverage on Civic Media radio stations throughout Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell. Let's get straight to the numbers. In the race for United States Senate, we have about 64% of the votes counted. Ron Johnson getting out to a slight lead, 50.6% to Mandela Barnes, 49.4%. Again, that's with 64% of the votes counted. Republican incumbent Ron Johnson with 50.6% and Mandela Barnes with 49.4%. Over to the race for Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers. This was 65% of the votes counted. Democratic incumbent Tony Evers leading Republican challenger Tim Michaels 51.1% to 47.9%. Once again, that's incumbent Democrat Tony Evers, 51.1% to challenger Tim Michaels, 47.9%. So some evidence of vote splitting at the top of the ticket throughout Wisconsin, just enough to make a difference in each race. For the race for Attorney General, incumbent Democrat Josh Call leading Eric Toney with only about 16% of the votes counted. So this is very early yet. But at this point, we have incumbent Democrat Josh Call ahead of Eric Toney, 54.7% to 45.3%. In the race for Secretary of State, once again, very early, 15% of votes counted. Incumbent Democrat Doug LaFollette leading Republican challenger Amy Loudenbeck, about 43.3%, about 52.6% to about 43.3%. And the race for Wisconsin State Treasurer, Democrat Aaron Richardson, this is for an open seat, leading Republican John Leiber, 52.8% to 44.8%. And again, that is with approximately 15% of the votes counted. And those are your statewide numbers for Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Welcome to the special live coverage of Wisconsin's midterm elections, brought to you by the Civic Media Network of radio stations and sponsored by Bug Tussle Wireless in Green Bay, Knucklehead Smoke Shop with locations in Milwaukee and Madison, and Chad's Design Build in Madison. Civic Media has news reporters and show hosts set up across the state to provide you and your family with the most comprehensive insight and results you just won't find anywhere else. Your special election coverage starts now, live on your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Good morning. We're going to begin this hour's coverage with our microphone on now. Good evening, everyone. Pat Kreitlow from our Lake Wasota studios, where it's a little past bedtime for the 6 a.m. host, but this who wants to go to sleep on this coverage. An election night that could see a supermajority for Republicans in the legislature, conceivably could see a new governor, or a new U.S. senator. The votes are still coming in. We have reached the part of the evening where there's a bit of a roller coaster, where the initial blue wave is giving way as more rural counties come in, Republican leaning, giving Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels some more hope. And then later on, we'll see about the late night vote counting, especially in Milwaukee County, and see what the bottom line turns into when all is said and done. I want to begin with a tweet from Ron Johnson earlier today, urging everyone to get out and vote. He says the election is too important to sit on the sidelines. And he says, quote, "Now is our chance to save our country from fundamental transformation." What? apparently, fundamental transformation is not something that Ron Johnson's looking for. And I think you're all going to have to read between the lines on that. The election's gone off by and large without a hitch across Wisconsin. One wrinkle happened earlier in the day when police were called to a public library in West Bend. A man with a knife walked in saying that the voting needed to stop. Voters and school kids were moved into closed rooms. A 38-year-old man was taken into custody. No injuries reported. Voting halted for about 30 minutes to secure the scene. Otherwise, the main headlines around the state have been the turnout and places that needed to get more ballots or needed more patience to deal with the crowds that were there. Now, we don't have exact turnout percentages here, but again, it's hearing about the need for more ballots that leads many to believe that in some of these larger communities of Wisconsin, there may be enough of a turnout to make a difference in the efforts of Tony Evers to win a second term and Mandela Barnes to win a seat in the U.S. Senate. But again, as you just heard from Terry Bell, with numbers coming in with about 66% of the votes counted, it is where we've started to see a shift in the voting, where Ron Johnson is ahead of Mandela Barnes, again, but by barely a percentage point. Tony Evers' lead shrinking to Tim Michaels, and we're going to get continued updates on the numbers throughout the course of this hour and then throughout the course of the night if need be. But it's been a colorful day around the state. We had, as I mentioned earlier, a Cap Times reporter be told by one young adult voter that his proof of residency to register to vote was an underage drinking ticket. Only in Wisconsin could that happen. And then there's Republicans like James Wigerson, the founding editor of Right Wisconsin, who made clear to the public that while he is a lifelong Rock Rib Republican, he was not going to vote for Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson because they were taking actions and words that were fundamentally opposed to democracy in our electoral system. And we'll have to see how many other Republicans agreed with that. Looking at some of the writing from some of Wisconsin's other great political reporters, you've got J.R. Ross at Wispolitics, Craig Gilbert at the Journal Sentinel, both watching the Waukesha County numbers. And now, again, this may have changed in the past half hour or so, but both were noting that in the Waukesha numbers, Tim Michaels is not keeping up with Scott Walker's numbers from 4 years ago. The most recent number I've seen from Waukesha County had 83% of the vote in and Tim Michaels at 60%, but Scott Walker got 66% there 4 years ago. And now I'm seeing a note from Craig Gilbert. He's got suburban Waukesha with 94% in, and Ron Johnson is up by 25 points, but he won that area by 38 points 6 years ago. So again, Waukesha County could be not trending as deeply red as it once did. And as a result, that may not bode well for Tim Michaels in his efforts to unseat Governor Evers. We have coverage from all around the state. You've been hearing throughout the night. If you're just tuning in, let me tell you a bit about it. We're going to be hearing from folks at our stations in Waukesha and Wausau at the Mandela Barnes Victory Party. We'll hear again from Terry Bell this hour, reports from Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids. We'll hear about the Madison and Milwaukee races, all of that coming up over the course of the next hour. We're also going to follow the legislative races where we do have updated numbers as they come in. Again, the big races tend to get counted first or at least get reported first. But let me scroll through and see, because we've had many of these candidates on as guests from time to time. Andrea Gage Michaels is running in the first state Senate district against incumbent Republican Andre Jacquin with 15% of the vote in. It's currently a competitive race. Jacques up by about 2 percentage points to this end. In the 5th district, we've talked to Democrat Jessica Katzenmeier running against Rob Hutton, and with 20% of the vote in, Jessica Katzenmeier leading by a 55 to 45% margin. Down to the 19th, we spoke to Kristen Alfheim, who is going up against Rachel Cabral Guevara, the Republican leading Kristen Alfheim by a 56-44 margin right now. In the 25th district, we have, this is the district that Janet Bewley is retiring from in Northwest Wisconsin. So it's an open seat. 20% of the vote is in right now. And at the moment, that district, which has been trending more Republican, especially post-gerrymandering, the Republican candidate, Romain Robert Quinn, a former state assembly rep, has a narrow lead over Democrat Kelly Westland. Again, just a 51-49 margin. And again, with 20% of the vote in. And one more I want to check, the 31st Senate district that's represented by Jeff Smith out of Eau Claire. He is a former state assembly rep. He's now finishing his first term in the state Senate. He is being challenged by insurrection adjacent Republican David Estenson, who was on the Capitol grounds on January 6th. And he, the Republican, is leading Jeff Smith, the incumbent Democrat, right now by a healthy margin, but with less than 10% of the vote counted. So Estenson's 58-42 margin doesn't take on nearly as much significance at that point when you take a look at the votes that have yet to come in. Let's update the state, let's update the state numbers, shall we say, for the Senate and the gubernatorial runs, and then we'll go check in with Chad Holmes out in Wausau. But first, this is now with 68% of the statewide vote in, and Ron Johnson now has a lead over Mandela Barnes. Again, a very narrow one, 51-49. A margin of about 30,000 votes, 970,000 votes to 940,000 votes. And then over on the gubernatorial side, again, Tony Evers had a lead for much of the evening. Then he has still has it, but it has been narrowing. It is now a 51-48 lead over Tim Michaels. And we've mentioned some of the drop-off. Mandela Barnes, the lieutenant governor running for Senate, is consistently running about 2 to 4 points behind Governor Tony Evers on the Democratic side of things. And in, again, just some very basic number crunching, looking at the spreads here, based on the current margin, it would appear that, let's see, Tony Evers is sitting at 975,000 votes and Mandela Barnes 940,000. It's roughly, it appears to be about 30,000 voters who appear to be voting for both the incumbents, Democrat Tony Evers and Republican Ron Johnson. Now, that's not to say that both Barnes and Evers can't win, but if it ends up being that Johnson beats Barnes and beats him narrowly, it could just be that difference of people who chose to vote for the two incumbents in both the gubernatorial and the U.S. Senate race. Well, again, we've got a 7th congressional district race up north, along with some other races that the folks at Bull Falls Radio are following. And Chad Holmes joins us now to tell us a bit more about that. Good evening, Chad.
Good evening, Pat. You mentioned the 7th congressional district. The AP just called it about 8 minutes ago. Tom Tiffany is returned to Congress for his second full term. Of course, he replaced Sean Duffy late in 2020. When Duffy resigned his position, Tiffany won a special election in the spring of 2020, won the regular election in November, and tonight knocks off the Democrat Richard Ausman, 62.5% to 37.5% right now, with about 54% of the votes counted. And
I just hope, hearing that result and hearing that race has been called, I hope that all of those immigrants and refugees listening tonight in Mexico and Nicaragua and Costa Rica are on notice, because Congressman Tiffany is watching you. He does not appear to be watching anything else other than the southern border, but he's watching you, and he's just been reelected. So watch out, you asylum seekers.
And Pat, you nailed it, because I saw Congressman Tiffany at an event here in Wausau a couple of weeks ago, and not only did he talk about it, he had that serious look on his face. It was very, very important about that southern border.
I wanted to mention because that's where he can focus that moment. In another moment, he will turn and tell you all about communist China and all of the problems over there. Now, somewhere in the midst of all this, we may hear the work that he does for constituents, but right now, between emphasizing crime, inflation, Mexicans, and the Chinese, apparently it was enough to get Tom Tiffany over the top tonight.
Were you sitting next to me at that event in Wausau 2 weeks ago? Because you sound like you know the script that Tom Tiffany goes right down the line with. But I know you've been following the third as well. And I
it doesn't take much to crack the code on Tom Tiffany.
No, it does not.
As it won't for Derek Van Orden as well, too.
I know. And right now, it's like a 2.5-point difference. 43% of the votes counted. Van Orden, 51.3%. Brad Pfaff, 48.8%. But I've been keeping an eye on the votes as they come in Stevens Point. And I mentioned earlier, in order to reach Portage County, which is one of the, if you look at the map, the blue in the middle of the state is Portage County. It's Stevens Point, to be specific. And to reach Portage County, you have to go into Wausau TV. You have to buy Wausau ads. And over the last couple of months, I have seen Van Orden, Van Orden, Van Orden, and never any Pfaff. Well, Van Orden has won some of the rural areas of Portage County. The Stevens Point votes are coming in, and there's still plenty of Stevens Point votes out. But the four sets of numbers that have come in, Pfaff is starting to cut into the Portage County deficit. He had 789 to 582 in one ward area, 531 to 312, 623 to 405, 631 to 399, and there's still plenty of Stevens Point wards to come in. And I mentioned the fact that there were supposed to be some ads coming on the air the last couple of weeks of the campaign that were canceled. If this turns into a 1 or 2 point race that Van Orden wins, the Democrats have to look in the mirror. They did not give the support to Brad Pfaff that could have got him over the
finish. Oh, it's not all Democrats that'll look in the mirror by any stretch of the imagination. Take it from the guy who lost that 7th district race 10 years ago this week. You won't find a lot of kind words for the DCCC from anybody who does not work for the DCCC. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee will make lots of promises. They will woo you, wine you, and dine you. But then when the rubber hits the road, they will look for the first possible opportunity to chase some other shiny object. So let's not put this in any way, shape, or form as Brad Pfaff being anything other than what he is, the more qualified candidate, the one who's not an insurrection adjacent candidate and one who would work hard for the district. And there is still that possibility that he can close that gap. When I look at those numbers in Eau Claire County, now only 60% of the votes been counted to this point, and Pfaff leads Van Orden by a 57-43 margin. And La Crosse County, again, only 50% of the vote is in, and he has a 58-42 margin over Van Orden there. We really only have Grant County and one other county that hasn't reported yet. And I'm really glad you're watching the Stevens Point numbers because, again, there may be more drama here than other people were thinking when the night began.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be one that goes right down to the wire. Wanted to mention as well, got some numbers in the 85th Assembly District. Incumbent Republican Pat Snyder has defeated the Democratic challenger Kristen Conway 56.2% to 43.7%, 13,687 to 10,651. To be honest with you, that is not a bad performance by the Democratic candidate at all.
No, not at all. And such a wonderful person. Again, a great interview to have her on the Up North News Radio morning show. And I'll say this about a lot of the candidates that fall short here this evening. And I won't, say this ahead of time before any of them, actually do lose. But the ones that do, I'm going to give my usual every 2 year sermon of not to walk away. That you've already proven that you are a community leader. You may run again in 2 years. You may just help other people, step up and increase their civic engagement. But Ms. Conway did a fantastic job and should be very proud of the campaign that was run there.
And real quickly as well, we got some numbers from the 29th State Senate District, the Marathon County numbers. All the Marathon County votes have been counted. This district does involve much more area than Marathon County, but the Republican, the Trumpist, Corey Tomchek, got 60% of the vote. The Democratic candidate, Bob Look, 39.8%. This is disappointing because of what Corey Tomchek represents. He is as Trump a candidate as we will see in the state of Wisconsin. And I truly believe that pre-Donald Trump, this man would not have run for office. I think this is part of the the Trump effect. And it was real interesting going back to the primary. He won a Republican primary over the mayor of Mosinee, Brent Jacobson, a young guy, a very, very competent person,
yes,
very middle of the road Republican. And Tomczyk, far right Trumpist, was able to win that primary. It was very much a similar situation, I think, to the governor's primary as well.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And chalked up not just to Trump, but to the entire toxic environment provided by right wing radio over the years that comes out of Wausau and Green Bay, and certainly Madison, Milwaukee have their stations as well. And that's why, Chad, to wrap things up, I couldn't be happier that you're helping us out with Civic Media and helping with Bull Falls Radio, so that we can hopefully bring a little less of those toxins into the radio airwaves and not encourage more candidates like that in the future. Chad, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's turn our attention now at 10:22 over to Waukesha, where Don Brown is standing by to tell us about some of the races that are happening in the southeastern corner of the state. Good evening, Don.
Hey, good evening, Pat. Well, you stole a little bit of my thunder with Jessica Katzenmeier, who has a 10-point lead with 20% of the vote counted. So that's very encouraging against Rob Brian Hutton. District 5, it's a done deal. Fitzgerald has a 29-point lead over Von Sumrin with almost 90% of the vote counted. In District 1, the incumbent, Brian Style, has a 10-point lead, and there are still almost 100,000, estimated 100,000 votes to be counted, and over a majority of those, about 68,000 votes, are from Racine in Milwaukee County. So still, I mean, I'm not going to say too close to call, but we're still going to pay attention to that, see what happens, and see what the challenger, Roe, can do in the final minutes. Another race that we're anxious to get some numbers on that affects Waukesha is the 98th Assembly District, where Christina Berry is challenging the incumbent, Adam Nealon, and she's gained a lot of traction in her campaign. And there's a sliver of Waukesha that's actually my neighborhood that's part of Waukesha there. So we'd like to see something happen there. And really, that's all I have here for this part of Southeast Wisconsin. So we're hoping to get some more traction in Fitzgerald's district. It's disappointing that, especially when you see how other Republicans haven't fared well, that I think they've got some good common sense Republicans here, some principled conservatives that would vote blue if they didn't like the candidate. But unfortunately for that congressional seat, there just hasn't been movement in the last couple elections, especially when we had an opportunity with an open seat, the last election. So that's what we got here.
Let me ask you about Waukesha County and what I was passing along earlier from Craig Gilbert and J.R. Ross, both noting that Scott Walker got 66% there 4 years ago, and Waukesha County is now 86% counted. And Tim Michaels is now down below 60%.
Right.
Do you put as much stock into it as these writers do, that more than anything else may signal that Tim Michaels may not be able to catch Tony Evers?
It's a good bellwether. And the thing you have to remember, too, about Walker is that I think his numbers from 4 years before were lower than they were 4 years earlier, because a lot of these marijuana referendums in local elections, including Waukesha, that brought a lot of voters in favor for Evers. So absolutely. And in the presidential election, Trump's margin of victory in Waukesha County was 5% lower than it was against Hillary in 2016. So either people voted for the other candidate or they didn't vote at all.
Okay. Dan Brown, thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Anytime. Thanks, Pat.
Yep. Great having the update. Before we check in with Earl Ingram over at the Mandela Barnes party, got to pass along a couple of notes nationally, which are frankly bitter pills to swallow. One, that Stacey Abrams has conceded to Brian Kemp in the race for Georgia governor. Brian Kemp, who never really got the comeuppance he deserved for disenfranchising perhaps hundreds of thousands of black voters in Georgia 4 years ago in defeating Stacey Abrams, has beaten her again. And I have to swallow really hard to say that J.D. Vance has defeated Tim Ryan in the Senate race for Ohio. So Congress receives yet one more insufferable Trump character who's going to treat the Congress like a stage rather than a forum to get anything done from the standpoint of public service. Give one more look at the statewide numbers here before we go to Earl for the governor's race. We're now at 73% of the estimated vote counted. Tony Evers hanging on to a lead, 50.6 to 48.4, so a 2.2% margin for Evers. Over on the Senate side of things, let me just hit refresh to make sure. There we go. 73% of the vote has been counted, and Ron Johnson holds a lead over Mandela Barnes, 51.1 to 48.9. So by almost that similar, just over 2-point margin, do the two incumbents, the Democrat Evers and the Republican Johnson, have leads with almost 3/4 of the Wisconsin vote counted. Earl Ingram is following what's happening at the Mandela Barnes victory party and still making that push to have it be a victory party before this night is over. Earl, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Some somber news that you just mentioned. It hasn't dampened, I think, the spirits of the people who are here. The positive news is that it looks like Governor Evers is doing such a great job. So, we're still hoping and that Mandela Barnes and can pull this out. But clearly it's not over.
Far from it, because just in the Milwaukee County vote is only 67% in. So there are still absentee ballots that they have to finish tabulating there. Rock County is only at 70% counted, and Barnes has a 52-48 lead there. And let's see, La Crosse County, well, they're 93% in. Mandela has 55% of the vote there. Oh, here it is. Portage County, again, just over 40% of the vote in. Now, obviously, it's not going to have nearly as many votes as, say, Milwaukee County, but it is most definitely going to go for Mandela Barnes by a slim margin. So, it really is going to come down to what we say every time. Every vote counts, and every vote's got to be counted, and I'm sure that's what they're watching out there.
I guess I would have never imagined that, if people would split the ticket, right? I mean, you would have assumed if somebody voted for Governor Evers, they would vote for Mandela Barnes. But politics makes strange bedfellows, as they've always said.
It sure does. And I've speculated on that people across Wisconsin love to stubbornly say that they want to vote for the person, not the party. They claim that they want to be bipartisan. And sometimes the easiest way to do that is simply to vote for the incumbents because you know them, you're comfortable with them, even if you don't necessarily agree with them. Now, I don't understand it, but I think that's what some of the voters would say. No knock on Lieutenant Governor Barnes, who's just been a fantastic public servant. But, if by chance he falls short, that's what's going to lead to it. But, Earl, I want you to keep an eye on things there. Keep an ear to the ground. We'll watch those numbers and get other updates from you in a little while.
All right. Thank you very much. Look forward to hearing from you soon.
All right, Earl. Thanks so much. Take care. We are just about half past the hour. We're going to get an update from national news, find out more from Terry Bell, and then we'll have more conversation about Wisconsin's election results right after this.
Election night coverage across the Civic Media Network brought to us by Bug Tussle. When it comes to high-speed internet, cellular service on the best network, or the right TV package for your life, Bug Tussle has got you covered. We will find a way to get you connected. As a thank you to our veterans out there, until November 18th, we're offering free installation and our affinity discount to any active or veteran military members. Call us today at 833-BE-TUSSLE. That's 833-288-7735.
This special live election coverage is sponsored by Bug Tussle Wireless in Green Bay, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin and beyond. Knuckleheads, with locations in Milwaukee and Madison, your one-stop smoke shop specializing in CBD and vapes, tobacco, and gifts. And Chad's Design Build in Madison, sustainable renovations and construction since 1992. And brought to you by the Civic Media Network of radio stations. You are listening to special live coverage of Wisconsin's midterm elections, brought to you by the Civic Media Network of radio stations. Our news reporters and show hosts have your up-to-the-minute results and comprehensive insight from across the state. Your special election coverage continues now, live on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Good evening, I'm Terry Bell. Let's take a look at the statewide numbers for U.S. Senate. Incumbent Republican Ron Johnson leading Democratic challenger Mandela Barnes, this with 73% of the votes counted, according to the Associated Press. 51% for Johnson, 49% for Barnes. Once again in the race for U.S. Senate, incumbent Republican Ron Johnson leading Democratic challenger Mandela Barnes 51% to 49%. Now in the race for Wisconsin governor, with 74% of the votes counted, incumbent Democrat Tony Evers is leading Republican challenger Tim Michaels 50.7% to 48.3%. Once again, that's Democratic incumbent Tony Evers with 50.7%. and Republican challenger Tim Michaels at 48.3%. Other statewide races, incumbent Democrat Attorney General Josh Call is leading Republican challenger Eric Toney. This with 47% of the votes counted. Call leading Toney 54.3% to 45.7%. Once again, that is Call with 54.3%, Eric Toney with 45.7%. In the race for Secretary of State, longtime incumbent Democratic incumbent Doug LaFollette leads Republican challenger Amy Loudenbeck with 47% of the vote counted. LaFollette has 51.9% and Loudenbeck with 44.3%. And finally, the last statewide race for state treasurer, an open seat, Democrat Aaron Richardson is leading Republican John Lieber 52.6% to 45.2%. That's about with 44% of the votes counted. Richardson with 52.4% and Lieber with 45.4%. And those are the latest statewide numbers. I'm Terry Bell for Civic Media News.
Terry, thank you so much. I promised Dom and Crute, and I didn't get her onto it last hour, so I'll victimize you with my story instead about sharing brown fluid on election nights. I don't know if that's ever been a tradition, you know, in your newsrooms. Never in mine. It wasn't a newsroom thing. But 2000, so you remember Dave Zien, state senator
Of course.
Oh, I mean, nobody could forget Dave Zien. Anyway, so I'm the person that ran against him and beat him in 2006. But my story is about election night 2006. I had, you know, busted my butt for months there, knocking on, you know, thousands of doors, did everything I could. It was 8 o'clock that election night, and my team says to me, polls are closed, there's nothing you can do, so why don't you, you know, go home or whatever. Well, I didn't know what to do. I'd been a candidate, and now I had nothing to do till the numbers came in. But I remembered my campaign manager saying that if we win, he says, you're buying me a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue.
Oh my, that's good stuff.
Well, I have no idea what that is. I'm a bourbon guy. This might be Knob Creek in this class right here. It might be water. Who's to say? But I thought, okay, well, I went to B&G Liquors, you know, there on Bay Street up in downtown Chippewa Falls. I'm sure you're familiar.
Oh yeah.
And looked, and this is a top shelf bottle of scotch, man. And this is 2006. It's $200.
Oh yeah.
$200 for a bottle of brown fluid that I'm like, okay, I guess this is the good stuff. Well, to bring us to the end of the story, the numbers didn't come in till 130 when I won very narrowly. And so we didn't really begin the celebration till something like 2:30. And that was my first and that was my last drink of scotch, because I've never siphoned gasoline out of a car before. But I think it's in that, I don't mean to insult you if you're a scotch drinker, but clearly I was not made for that.
I'm a bourbon man myself. I tried to make myself a scotch drinker as a younger man, but a friend introduced me to bourbon and I never looked back.
Nope. There's just too much good there in so many different ways. So I appreciate you having to put up with that story, but I don't even know how many, now you were at TV 13. I forget for how many years before I started there in Eau Claire, but you had to have run more than your share of elections while you were working in John Hoffman's newsroom.
Oh, absolutely. And it was very enjoyable. It was very, very exciting stuff. It was a presidential year. I remember both the Clinton and Bush campaigns coming through the Chippewa Valley at that time, covering their whistle stops. And it was terribly exciting. It was exactly why I became a journalism major as a young person, because it was very exhilarating.
My favorite was the 2004 presidential campaign, because with about a month to go until the election, station management decided to do a full remodel, gut the newsroom.
Whoa.
And then rebuild it, basically. So election night, we're working off of a temporary studio on a pallet with a card table. I mean, it was just, it looked good on air, but man, you know, that was all bailing twine and wire and bubble gum beyond that. Just more adventures in TV that I don't think either one of us, we loved it at the time. I don't know that we miss it that terribly much.
It was a fun time. I will say this, television certainly defines moments, and it was exciting to be a part of it, but I've enjoyed working in radio where I can really get in depth with issues and ideas.
Oh, very, very much so. All right, Terry, thank you for putting up with me. I appreciate it. Appreciate the numbers. We'll get another update in just a little bit. We're going to go in just a couple of minutes here to Joanne out in Richland Center. But first, we haven't really talked much about a lot of the state assembly races. And again, we don't have a lot of detailed numbers in from some of these races yet that we're following. For example, our friend Patty Schachner out in Western Wisconsin is challenging the incumbent Republican in District 28, but we don't have any vote totals in there yet. Our friend Sarah Yacoub, who anchored the Wednesday night Up North podcast with us for a time, is challenging incumbent Republican Shannon Zimmerman. And again, only a handful of votes are in right now, and Zimmerman has a lead. But again, it's extremely early. In the 51st Assembly District, this one might be noteworthy if you saw the New York Times Magazine article with Leah Spicer on the cover and talking about the challenges of being a Democrat running in rural Wisconsin. And again, you see a candidate who is so eminently qualified and so dedicated to public service, but has, you know, an uphill climb with that right-wing message machine that has been convincing far too many people across rural Wisconsin that, you know, there's a party that's going to look out for them when it doesn't actually have a record of doing that. Leah Spicer would be a hell of a rep there. But again, with 2/3 of the vote in, she's currently trailing on that one. Let's go down to Katrina Shanklin's race in the 71st Assembly District. Let's see, 20% of the vote is in, and she's up by a 51-49 margin. The 73rd Assembly District was an especially ugly race, where the Democrat Laura Gapsky had to put up with death threats and all manner of ugliness from Angie Sapik, the Republican candidate there, put Laura's personal cell number on campaign material. Again, it just really brought out the worst in people. But unfortunately, again, only 25% of the vote counted or so, but the Republican Angie Sapik leading Laura Gapsky by a 55-44 margin. And we'll watch some of the others here. We know that Luann Byrd in the 84th is trailing Bob Donovan with about half the votes in by a 52-48 margin. And finally, in the 94th Assembly District in La Crosse, 72% of the vote is in. Democratic incumbent Steve Doyle leading Republican challenger Ryan Hipsch by a 52-48 margin. So there's a look at just a few selected assembly races all around the state. But now with a little bit more about what's happening in the Richland Center area, Joanne joins us now to tell us a bit more from your corner of Wisconsin. Hello, Joanne.
Hello, Pat. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, in the congressional race, District 3, Derek Van Orden continues to maintain a lead, but it's close, 51-49%. So that one, though, is still only, you know, time will tell, but it should go right down to the wire with only 47% in so far.
Yeah, there's still a lot of votes to be counted there, and I was just pulling up the county map. We are still waiting to hear from Adams County and Grant County have not reported, and Portage County is still only 30% of the votes are in. So yeah, there's still some work to be done there, Joanne.
Well, in Richland County too, there's only 6 of the 35 municipalities reporting so far. So in the state Senate District 17, only 34% of the votes are in. Howard Markline leads Pat Scogan 58.2% to 41.8%. Assembly District 49, Travis Tranel leads Lynn Parrott 60-40%. Assembly District 50, it's Tony Kurtz leading Michael Luth 62.9%, so 63% to 37%. And Assembly District 51 with 59% of the votes in, Todd Novak leads Leah Spicer 56.8% to 43.2%. So, but it'll be interesting since, like I said, only 6 of the 35 municipalities in Richland County have responded so far. And like you said, Grant County's not in yet. So,
right. And let's see, Chad Holmes gave us an update by text here about Stevens Point numbers that are coming in for Brad Paff. One precinct went for Paff 688 votes to 288 for Van Orden. And another, look at this whopping margin, 704 to 245. So Paff is definitely gaining ground in Stevens Point, and maybe we'll see how he does in some of these other areas of Richland and Grant counties. I think there's going to be a little bit more time spent on this race before we get to rest, Joanne.
Yep. I did happen to look, though, of the 6 that have reported, they've mainly gone Republican.
Okay.
Which isn't unusual. Richland County is pretty much Republican.
Yeah. Yep, it is. So, all right. Well, we'll continue to monitor that. Joanne, thank you so much for the update. Sure appreciate it.
No problem.
All right.
I'll talk to you next hour.
You betcha. Let's take a look at the state numbers now. Let's give those an update. We'll start with the governor's race. We are at almost 76% of the vote of the estimated vote has been counted. So again, with 76% of the estimated vote in, Tony Evers continues to maintain a margin over Republican Tim Michaels. The margin is 2.4%, so slightly smaller than the last time we updated you. 50.7% for Tony Evers, 48.3% for Tim Michaels. Again, that's with 76% of the statewide vote in. As we mentioned before, Grant County still out. Richland County is still counting. A couple of other counties up north yet to report. Let me get over to Milwaukee here. We are at 2/3 of the vote in. 67% of Milwaukee County is in. And Evers has a 67-32 margin over Tim Michaels. Again, 67-32. Is the margin for Evers in Milwaukee County at this point with 70% of the vote in. Meanwhile, in Dane County, 95% of the vote is in, and the Evers margin there is 79-20 over Tim Michaels. So that is a big reason why Tony Evers still has that 2.4 percentage point lead over Tim Michaels at this hour. Let's head over to the Senate race, where, again, Ron Johnson, his lead is now 2 percentage points even. It's exactly 51% to exactly 49%, 51-49. Ron Johnson leading Mandela Barnes with about 76% of the vote that's in to this point. And again, with plenty of votes yet to be counted in Milwaukee County and a few scattered ones around. Chad Holmes tells us that there's another group of Stevens Point votes that have come in for Brad Path, 533 to 284 for Derek Van Orden. No Village of Plover votes are in yet, and those numbers could be good for Brad Path as well. And let's see, I think we've got Luke Mathers on the phone, and then we're going to go check in with Melissa Kay over in Wisconsin Rapids. Luke, you got something quick for us over there?
Oh, Pat, I'm just in queue, ready for my turn. I believe you got to go to Melissa first.
Oh, okay. I see you, and I figure you don't show up unless you've got something important to say or something that you need to correct from me. So I didn't do anything wrong. I'm good. Thank you, Luke. All right, Melissa, let's get the latest from the Wisconsin Rapids area. Hello.
Hey, Pat, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, we're both early birds. This is a late night for us.
We signed up for this though, so yes, I can't complain.
No, not complaining, but you know, 3 a.m. comes early.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So yes, looking at the district assembly runs, they've actually been posting these on AP now, so we've got a little more updated numbers for across the statewide. It looks like District 69 is pretty well decided for Donna Roser. It's 42% right now, but she's carrying 70.5% of the vote to Lisa Borio or Borrow at 29.5%. The other races in these assemblies here, District 70, 71, and 72, are only between 19 and 20% of the vote. But they are running for the incumbents. Nancy Vandermeer's got 71.4% against Remy Gomez at 28.6. Katrina Shanklin is doing well with 51.4% to Scott Sook at 48.6. She's the Democratic incumbent. I'm watching that race really close. And then we've got District 72, which is Scott Krug against Christy Greening. That's only at 19%, but Scott's carrying 68.3% of the vote there to Christy at 31.7. And the numbers are completely in for Wood County. They are at 100% right now. Looks like Portage County is... For the assembly districts, they're only close to 40% for the precincts there. But a couple of the other ones are, I believe, at 100%. Marathon County, I think, is at 100%.
Okay.
For these races.
All right. All right. Let's see. And I'm looking through the Twitterverse right now and seeing a report that Evers is continuing to hit the numbers that he needs in places like Marathon County, Michaels is only at 58% compared to Ron Johnson at 61. And, you know, they're saying the same for Dodge County, Waukesha County. But Dane County is just absolutely crushing things tonight. And I think that we're going to have a lot to say, Melissa, once we get a better look at these turnout numbers. It appears not just to be a thing in the cities, but all across the state, I think we're going to see some monster turnouts for a midterm year.
Well, and it was a surprising. I re-looked at the numbers because I initially just looked at the population of Wood County. But then once I looked at the actual like registered voter numbers, they had, it looks like, over 70% turnout in Wood County. So that's high for a midterm election, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's good. Some good news there. And always good to have people participating, Melissa. And I'm seeing now from Dan Bice at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Sources in both parties are saying that Governor Evers is going to win. One prominent GOP source who backed Tim Michaels told Dan Bice, quote, "I don't see a path." And so we may have some news there. The absentee votes are starting to come in as well, in the city of Milwaukee starting to get tabulated. So we might get some finality, at least in these state races, but sounds like we're going to be waiting a while for those assembly races, and I appreciate you following them.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. All right, Mr. Mathers, you want to talk to me now?
I would hate to be rude and skip my turn.
Well, here's the thing. To explain to folks, first off, it's way past my bedtime. Second, we are in 27 different cities, it feels like, and maybe 8 time zones, and we're doing everything through text messaging. So when I see Luke Mathers is on line one, I don't look down to see, oh, is he part of the rotation? I go, oh, no, I'm in trouble. What's Luke going to tell me I did wrong now? But it turns out I'm doing all right.
You're doing fantastic, and I listened to you my entire drive back to my residence, where I will be doing the remainder of my election night coverage, like you get to do up there on the Lake Wissota studios. But I just wanted to make sure that I was on time, and I called in, and I fortunately, I guess, threw you off
you
a
did.
Little bit with that.
You did, and you shocked me, but I'm better now. I got the update from Melissa. The little thunder showers are passing through Lake Wissota here and making a nice pitter patter on the window. It's very hypnotic as I stare at this glass of bourbon that is only about 8.5 minutes away from being consumed. But why don't you fill some of that with the latest on the Madison Milwaukee races?
Well, we've got a call for both of the congressional districts, and the second here in Dane County. Representative Mark Pocan will be elected to another term to serve in the House of Representatives, as well as Representative Gwen Moore. So we've got those two definitive. There are only two outstanding congressional races left to be called here in the state of Wisconsin. Brian Stile versus Ann Rowe in Wisconsin's first congressional district, as well as the race that's going to seem to be the closest of the night here, as you just alluded to. It seems like we may be getting some definitive results coming soon for the statewide races, but the third congressional district race between Derek Van Orden, Republican challenger, it's an open seat, so they're both running for a open seat, but Republican Derek Van Orden narrowly leading right now over State Senator Brad Paff, the Democratic candidate in that race.
Okay. I'm getting another update here off Twitter from Dan Bice, who says, actually, he's quoting Joe Hendrick, the Republican from the Minocqua area, who says it's beginning to look like the Wisconsin Assembly GOP will gain 3 seats, which is not enough for a veto-proof majority, as Dan Bice says, ending with the words, "Hello, gridlock." So I guess that's some interesting news that we won't have that supermajority for Republicans in the legislature. So there's some solace to be taken there, but we're still seeing, like in the Milwaukee absentee ballot numbers, they're in now.
I have an unofficial absentee ballot vote total as well for the city of Milwaukee.
Yep. You have it there too?
And are you looking at the same thing I'm looking at from Urban Milwaukee's Jeremy Janine?
I am indeed.
Yes. So it looks like with some unofficial absentee vote totals, Evers has a 46,649 lead in those, coming in just shy of 60,000 or just around 60,000 absentee votes between Evers and Michaels. Evers having 53,560, with Michaels receiving 6,911 of those absentee votes for the city of Milwaukee, whereas Barnes has a 53,513 vote total of those unofficial absentee vote totals for the city of Milwaukee, which is 45,953 more votes than incumbent Senator Ron Johnson is receiving out of those vote totals of 7,560 votes. So a large margin coming for both of the top of the ticket Democratic candidates out of the city of Milwaukee with unofficial absentee vote totals. So expect those to be coming and I would assume verified in roughly the next hour or so.
Now, the interesting thing about that is that in this case, in the city of Milwaukee, Evers and Barnes have almost the same number of votes. The difference is only about 47 votes out of 53,000. But Michaels is trailing Johnson by more than 500 votes. And what I'm saying is in the city of Milwaukee, it does not seem to be a case where people voted for Evers and Johnson, as we think we might be seeing in other parts of the state. That is especially good news for Barnes. It's also not unexpected, but he really needed that. If he's going to catch Ron Johnson, he needed to squeeze every last vote out of the city of Milwaukee. And from an absentee ballot standpoint, it certainly seems like he got that.
Yes, and another important note to point out is that the city of Wauwatosa also does a central count. They were behind on their vote tallying to the point where initial reports when polls closed around 8 p.m. this evening was that they wouldn't have official vote totals, including absentee ballots, until around 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. They added some staff to be able to count those ballots, and they are now anticipating to be hitting a midnight to 1 a.m. deadline. But the city of Wauwatosa has been trending very blue over the last couple cycles, to the point where Republicans have gerrymandered that area, specifically after the exurbs were trending more blue and some of those very gerrymandered 2011 seats flipped from red to blue in 2018 and 2020. So important to note that there could be some potential ground made up by the Democratic candidates at the top of the ticket with the tabulation of those city of Wauwatosa votes as well, Pat.
All right. Sounds great, Luke Mathers. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Let's head over to Earl Ingram now, where we're crunching those numbers as best we can, Earl. And I'm sure people smarter than me are out there working the back of an envelope and some calculators as well.
Yeah, they really are. And it's really quiet around here. You know, people really are just waiting and listening to you guys and tabulating the numbers. You know, this is going to be nip and tuck all the way. And, you know, Wauwatosa, I think clearly with what I saw, which is right next to Milwaukee, could be the key. And those absentee votes in Wauwatosa. This is going to be going down to the wire, as I think all of us projected. It's one thing to say that, it's another one altogether to really realize that it's going to be just that. So it's quiet here for the most part, and people don't know what to think or what to say. We haven't heard much.
I'll tell you what though, Earl, the story I was telling a little bit ago about my election night 2006, it was very quiet until about 1:30 in the morning when the very last of the votes came in. And so there's every reason to hang on there and to keep an eye on Tosa, keep an eye on the rest of what's coming in Milwaukee, and frankly, what's trickling in elsewhere. If it's that close a race, you know, you're going to have to count every one of them. You look at Ashland, which is a 60-40, Barnes margin. But again, they're at 85% counted, so they've got more votes to come in. Bayfield County is 83% counted. So even around the state, it's going to be, watching hard to get these final numbers in. So I hope you're able to keep folks' spirits up there, have them paying attention, and let's see if you can't pull this thing out before we're all done.
All right. I guess we'll be talking in a little while.
All right, Earl. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right. One more time here before I sign off and get ready to rejoin you again at 6 a.m., Ron Johnson leading Mandela Barnes right now by 3 percentage points, 51.5 to 48.5. But again, a whole lot yet to be done to count some of the straggling votes that are out, including in the city of Milwaukee. And then one final check on the governor's race here. Again, with 82% of the statewide vote in, Tony Evers now has a 1-point margin, 50 to 49. With 82% of the vote in. All right, news coming up at the top of the hour here, and then more coverage of election night. Have a great night. I'm Pat Kreitler.